The old man felt faint and sick, and he could not see well. But he cleared the harpoon line and let it run slowly through his raw hands, and when he could see, he saw the fish was on his back with his silver belly up. The shaft of the harpoon was projecting at an angle from the fish's shoulder, and the sea was discoloring with the red of the blood from his heart. First it was dark as a shoal in the blue water that was more than a mile deep. Then it spread like a cloud. The fish was silvery and still, and floated with the waves. The old man looked carefully in the glimpse of vision that he had. Then he took two turns of the harpoon line around the bit in the bow and laid his head on his hands. "Keep my head clear," he said against the wood of the bow. "I am a tired old man, but I have killed this fish which is my brother, and now I must do the slave work. Now I must prepare the nooses and the rope to lash him alongside," he thought. "Even if we were two and swamped her to load him and bailed her out, this skiff would never hold him. I must prepare everything, then bring him in and lash him well and step the mast and set sail for home." He started to pull the fish in to have him alongside so that he could pass a line through his gills and out his mouth and make his head fast alongside the bow. "I want to see him," he thought, "and to touch and to feel him. He is my fortune," he thought. "But that is not why I wish to feel him. I think I felt his heart," he thought, "when I pushed on the harpoon shaft the second time. Bring him in now and make him fast and get the noose around his tail and another around his middle to bind him to the skiff." "Get to work, old man," he said. He took a very small drink of the water. "There is very much slave work to be done now that the fight is over." He looked up at the sky and then out to his fish. He looked at the sun carefully. "It is not much more than noon," he thought, "and the trade wind is rising. The lines all mean nothing now. The boy and I will splice them when we are home." "Come on, fish," he said. But the fish did not come. Instead, he lay there wallowing now in the seas, and the old man pulled the skiff up onto him. When he was even with him and had the fish's head against the bow, he could not believe his size. But he untied the harpoon rope from the bit, passed it through the fish's gills and out his jaws, made a turn around his sword, then passed the rope through the other gill, made another turn around the bill, and knotted the double rope and made it fast to the bit in the bow. He cut the rope then and went astern to noose the tail. The fish had turned silver from his original purple and silver, and the stripes showed the same pale violet color as his tail. They were wider than a man's hand, with his fingers spread, and the fish's eye looked as detached as the mirrors in a periscope, or as a saint in a procession.